Welcome to Just Markets 365 on April 2nd, 2019. My name is Shay. Well, good morning, and thank you for joining us today. We've had a lot of gains the past couple of trading days. You know, yesterday was a good day and Friday was a good day. And we had a lot of economic data that came out, and that really what drove the market to price that in. Today, across the board globally, you know, we've had a pretty flat session. Asia, Europe, and the US have all been pretty flat today. There's some news that came out today, so we have a lot to talk about. But overall, there's really nothing to mention as far as stock gains or indexes that really have shifted, with the exception of the yield curve. And we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. This next piece of news is important if you own bank stocks. So the FDIC, the Federal Reserve, and the Office of Contra-Currency have floated a plan that would penalize certain debt that banks purchased. The goal of the regulation is to limit interconnectedness of large banks to cushion the blow if a one mega bank fails. The proposal aims to discourage globally systemically important bank holding companies, or too big to fail, from purchasing large amounts of total loss absorbing capacity debt by requiring these banks to hold additional capital against this debt. The proposal would require holding companies of G-SIBs to report publicly the total loss absorbing capacity debt outstanding. Now, the Fed will take comments for the next 60 days and then release their results. Now, our next topic is oil. Now, we're seeing oil surge, right? So yesterday we saw it was about 2.5%. Today is getting closer to its 5-month high. And that's mostly because of anticipation of cuts by Saudi Arabia and Russia in production, right? So the global supply of oil is coming down. At the same time, you're having the global economy is trying to recover here, as mentioned over the weekend by the Chinese manufacturing numbers, right? So you're seeing that the global economy is maybe accelerating a little bit, but oil production is coming down, and hence you're seeing a shift in oil price. And for that reason, banks have raised their forecast for Brent crude going forward here for the rest of 2019 to kind of adjust for that change. Now, there's, of course, always geopolitical risk when it comes to oil. So if something happens in Iran or in the Middle East or the Straits of Hormuz, you can see that the price spike again. But at the moment, it's up because of demand increasing and this supply being cut, right? One small piece of news out there is the World Trade Organization has cut forecasts for trade growth this year. And that is mostly due to their reasons were the US and China trade dispute led to a sharper than expected slowdown in the flow of exports and imports, and that's kind of why they have adjusted their forecast to lower the growth rate of trade, not of the economy, but just for trade itself. Now, one piece of international news, Modinomics. Indian shares are hitting record highs. So Bombay Stock Exchange and the Indian Stock Exchange are both hitting record high because it is fueled by foreign cash and investors that are growing confident that Prime Minister Narendra Modi will be ruling, you know, will have the ruling coalition in the upcoming elections and the continuation of Modinomics. So for those of you who have invested in India, this could be good news. Yesterday, we talked in great length about the ISM manufacturing data, and just want to remind you that data point for March came in at 55.3%, which is an expansionary data point. Today we got the U.S. durable goods orders, which fell by 1.6%, and this data point was actually for February, right? So, and the median forecast for this was, you know, it should have been around down 2.1%. So it was better than expected, but if you exclude the transportation's durable goods, meaning automobiles and aircraft, the data was actually pretty flat. Now, the market is very sensitive to this indicator. So durable goods, durable goods are a very important part of the economy. They're one of the larger ticket items an average person purchases. So I want to talk about what is a durable good. A durable good is a good that has an expected life of more than 3 years. Some examples are automobiles, computers, machinery, aircraft, communication equipment. So these are some examples of durable goods. Now, going back a few months, we've seen a 3 straight months of declining growth in civilian aircraft orders. So that's why you're seeing a depressed level of durable goods. Now, this can get worse, especially with this whole Boeing 737 MAX airplane issue. We already seen one order being canceled and maybe additional orders will not be placed. So that could be an issue for this number and it could stay depressed for a bit of time. It also seems that because these numbers are coming in a little weak for the first quarter, so from February, January, and March is getting a little stronger, you could have where the first quarter GDP will be coming in pretty weak. So just be careful of that. The market's already priced that in, but as investors, don't get shocked if that is the case. One other fundamental data that I was waiting for today was the data on motor vehicle sales for March. And usually it's released today. I haven't seen the number yet. I'm not sure why. But as soon as I see it, I will mention it probably on tomorrow's podcast. Now for some notable stock news. We saw Walgreens cut its earnings expectations for the fiscal year after the drugstore chain said that it's facing one of the most difficult quarters since its merger with Alliance Boots. And it's also saying that it's earning less money from prescription drugs, and that's usually where it gets most of its sales revenue from. And it's due to mostly because of new generics that are in the market, and there's a lot of government pressure to curb rebates that are paid back to drug makers. It also stated that the retail sales fell due to weak cold and flu season, and there's been a lot of shift away from tobacco products. So what you're seeing here is that Walgreens is having its own micro business issues in the industry and its own business issues, and that's why it missed on its earnings expectations and is why it's lowering fiscal year forecast, and it has not a lot to do with the economy as a whole. Now, the other stock that's in the news that should be of note is Delta Airlines, DAL. And on Tuesday, it raised its guidance for the first quarter on higher revenue and lower than expected non-fuel costs. This Atlanta-based carrier expects to report 85 to 95 cents in adjusted EPS, which is higher than what it said in January. That would be between 70 and 90. And what it mentioned about why it's changing its guidance on earnings per share, it's because of lower fuel costs, of course, as I mentioned earlier, but also that business bookings were up, right? And those are the two main reasons why it's able to raise its guidance. Now, this is another sign of a healthy economy. And as you remember, the airline sector is highly cyclical and it's highly dependent on a strong economy. And the fact that Delta Airlines is going the opposite way on their guidance, that's a very good sign. Now I want to take a moment and really talk about a main topic, which is the yield curve. Now I'm going to do a quick 101 on the yield curve and then really talk about some of the rates, where they've been since last week and this week so far, and then also talk about what my take is on the yield curve. So the U.S. Treasury yield curve is a line that plots interest rates, or yields, right, at different maturities. It is assumed that all debt plotted on the yield curve has the same credit rating, meaning the same credit risk. Most read the curve from left to right. Left is the shortest part of the maturity, and as you move to the right of the curve, the maturities increase. And hence, generally speaking, when you have an upward sloping yield curve, you have higher yields as you move to the right of the yield curve. The curve can be upward sloping, as I mentioned earlier, which is the normal yield curve. It could be flat, where your short rates and your long rates are very close to each other's yields. And then you can have a downward sloping or inverted yield curve, where your short rates are higher than your long rates. So generally speaking, when demand for longer maturities is higher than shorter maturities, and investors continue to expect short-term rates to decline in the future, like the Fed funds rate, investors will continue to demand to buy longer maturities, and hence why you have a higher demand for longer maturities, and hence those yields are lower than shorter maturities. And that's why people always say that if you have an inverted yield curve, you could have a recession, right? It's not a guarantee that you have a recession, but it becomes likely in the next year or 6 months or what have you, you could have a recession. It's not a great predictor of a recession, but it kind of, there's logic and rationale behind that. Now, I want to talk about where the yield curve is currently. Now, I'm going to use some data points from the end of last week and then where it's at today. So last week, the Fed funds rate was at 2.4%, which is a one-month rate. The two-year treasury was at 2.26. The seven-year treasury was at 2.3. And the 10-year treasury was at 2.4%. Today, last I checked, the Fed funds rate, or the one-month treasury, was at 2.42. The two-year was 2.30, basically slightly higher. The seven-year treasury was at 2.29, so just about 2 basis points lower. And the 10-year treasury is up 2.49. So it's up about 9 basis points since end of last week. So we had an inverted yield curve last week, and now we have what we call a positive butterfly yield curve, right? Now I want you to imagine this. I want you to think about a butterfly, and I want you to imagine its body in the middle, and I want you to imagine its wings, right? So basically, the short end and the long end are the higher yielding, and those are the wings, and the middle part of the body, which is the shortest part of the body, is the middle or the belly of the yield curve. And that's what's called a positive butterfly. Now, positive butterfly curve occurs when you have a non-parallel shift in the yield curve. A non-parallel change in interest rates may lead to negative or positive butterfly. We are currently in a positive butterfly. A positive butterfly occurs when short-term rates and long-term rates increase at higher rates than intermediate rates. Now, what is the yield curve telling us? Last week, you had an inverted yield curve, right? It was maybe showing signs of a slowdown in the economy. Today, it's showing a positive butterfly, which means that the yields are recovering to the upside, and maybe a technical shift to the upside here for the yield curve. So you can probably have, maybe if everything continues to be the same, all things being equal, a back to normalized yield curve environment. I also want to mention that the U.S. yields, treasury yields, relatively speaking, are much higher than their counterparts globally, right? So you're seeing a lot of demand for the longer end and the intermediate end of the yields of treasury debt higher, because you have Europe, for example, in Japan, where you have almost $10 trillion in negative yielding debt, meaning that you're guaranteed a nominal capital loss if you buy $10 trillion of debt in Japan and Europe. So for example, so our 10-year treasury is at 2.47%, and our two-year is at 2.3%. If you go to Europe, and let's go to UK first, right? The two-year is paying 64 basis points, and the 10-year is paying 1%. Now, we go to negative yields, right? We go to Germany. Germany, a 10-year Bund is paying negative 0.04%. Negative 0.04%. So it's a guaranteed of nominal capital loss if you buy a 10-year German Bund. The 1-year German Bund is paying negative 56 basis points. So guaranteed nominal capital loss of 56 basis points. So you would think, like, why are our yields so low right now and demand for the long end of the curve so high? It's because globally you're seeing these low rates, and the only place investors can actually go and get a decent return on their cash or on low risk investments is the US Treasury market. And that's probably the primary cause of an inverted yield curve or a positive butterfly here. And it's not the economy as a whole. Well, it seems like I'm over my 15 minutes target here for our daily podcast. So I just want to thank you for listening to this podcast. And I would appreciate if you rated 5 stars if you found it valuable. And please follow and subscribe to it. Tomorrow's podcast, we're going to talk about the earnings preview that will be full-fledged next week. And then on Thursday, we're going to talk about the Lyft IPO. And then Friday, we're going to talk about just recap this week and what went on and what are the conclusions we can make out of it so we can all be better investors. Please remember, this podcast is for information purposes only, and presenters will make every effort to provide accurate information, but assumes no responsibility for accuracy. You should not construe any such information or other materials as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there cannot be any assurance that the future performance of any specific investment strategy or products or non-investment related content made reference to directly or indirectly in this podcast will be profitable, equal any corresponding indicated historical performance levels, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Due to various factors, including changing market conditions or applicable laws, the content may no longer be reflective of current opinions or positions. Moreover, you should not assume that any discussion or information contained in this podcast serves as a receipt or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from your advisor. To the extent you should have any questions regarding the applicability of any specific issues discussed, you are encouraged to consult with your professional advisor of your choosing.